For those who don't know my story, when I was 12 years old, I was diagnosed with Tourette's and I was on medication for almost 10 years. When I was 21, I learned something called The Secret and I came off the medication overnight against everyone telling me to stay on it, and I had a spiritual awakening. I meditated for 3 weeks straight and my Tourette's disappeared, and I created the podcast to simply preach about everything that most people have in their head but no one ever speaks about, which is what the twitching was. It was too many thoughts inside my head, and now I have a platform where I can speak to people and they can get out what's in their head. I have just launched my first course and it's called Take Control, and it's basically the system that I went through when I was 21 and I had my awakening. It's the same system that I've done for my parents and close friends and family members, and it's changed their life. Individual steps that we don't see as much, but when you put it together as part of a life that you have to maintain and manage, it's life-changing. So check out the course. And if you feel inclined to buy it, buy it. I reckon that it will really change your life if you're going for a spiritual awakening, because I once was, and these steps changed my life. So if you go to talkwitholiver.com and you'll see that my course is there, it's called Take Control. If you buy it and go through it, reach out to me on Instagram and socials and let me know how you get on and what you thought of the course. So if I could ask a favour from all my listeners, upon looking at my stats recently, it has occurred that out of a very humbling 730,000 downloads since I created the podcast back in 2019, that only 10% of you that listen have actually followed and subscribed to the podcast. If I could ask a massive favour from you all that listen, if you wouldn't mind just hitting that follow and subscribe button, it would mean more than you can imagine, and it really does help the show grow and help reach more people in more ways than you and I can even imagine. The bigger the podcast gets, the bigger the guests get. And my aim is to grow the show big enough that I can reach out to amazing people like Russell Brand, Joe Dispenza, Lewis Howes, Grant Cardone, Joe Rogan, and have deep, intimate, and vulnerable one-to-one conversations with them. I want to speak to the human side of people to show we're all the same when you get to the core, regardless of how much money or fame you have.
Time, and I felt kind of rested, and I always wake up more as like the first hour of the day passes. I can definitely feel right now that I didn't get a full like night of sleep. So I've had phases of this talk where I've been walking around pacing, which is my normal state, where I'm like, but I've been sitting down for most of it, which gives me a more calmer version of Noel when I'm in that state, which is totally cool too. But it's all because of the amount of sleep from last night. So you're speaking directly to me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So what I've realized is that I always thought, you know, the longer you sleep, the better. What I didn't realize is that it's actually to do with the amount of deep sleep that you get, not sleep. Because in a night, we do a deep sleep of, say, on average, you know, 2 hours. We do a REM sleep on average, say, 2 hours. And the rest is light sleep or awake. And it's the combined deep sleep that is important. So you can sleep for 10 hours and only get an hour deep sleep because you're tossing and turning. You're actually awake, even though you're not awake, versus having 5-6 hours of sleep. But 2 hours out of that was deep sleep. So feeling shit is actually directly correlated to the amount of deep sleep that you have, which is directly related to your circadian rhythm and, you know, allowing your body to go into that deep restful state for a period of time without noise, without interruptions, without caffeine affecting you, without lights, without your fucking partner snoring and moving and, you know, stress on your mind. Just allowing your body to go into that deep sleep state for that period of time is literally all you need. And I've been recently having, say, 6 hours and 45 minutes sleep, and my deep sleep is fantastic. It's like 2 hours. Years ago, I used to always sleep 9 hours because I thought, okay, well, I need more sleep. And I'd always feel shit. I'd feel lethargic. I'd feel lazy. I'd feel tired. I'd feel like shit. And I suddenly realized, how is it that I can have 6 and 45 minutes of sleep, knowing that I used to always need 8, and then I have 9 and I feel worse? And I realize it's because it's to do with the quality of the sleep that I'm now getting that I wasn't getting years ago. Years ago, I wasn't getting much sleep because of excessive thinking. So, you know, I used to sleep longer to get more rest because, you know, whatever reason. But then now I meditate, I've got no thoughts, I go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time. I get 6 hours and 45 and I feel fantastic. And it's to do with the deep sleep. And you know, people don't get people who set an alarm and they keep snoozing, and they lie in. You're not doing yourself any favors. You're better off getting up after that time you've woken up after, say, 6.5 hours, and then going to bed the same time the night before, and then getting the extra sleep the day after, because then at least you're waking up naturally for the first time, as opposed to waking up, going back to sleep, waking up, going back to sleep, because you're not actually giving yourself extra sleep. You know, it's hard to go back into a deep sleep in an hour of a snooze, as it is to getting an extra hour of deep sleep in the middle of the night when you've already done, say, an hour and a half of deep sleep.
For sure, for sure. Be careful out there, everybody, affirming. I hear a lot of people, Oliver, affirming that they have a hard time sleeping, and they just continue to reinforce this in their mind. I've been affirming, because one thing I will say is when I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm out like a light, like a baby. Like, all my partners like are fascinated with this. Like, one second I'll be awake, and the next second, like, I'm gone, like totally like knocked out. And I've always been this way, but I affirm that this is how I am. I just say I sleep like a baby every night. So even though the amount, I appreciate you saying it's not the amount of sleep, because I probably average about 6 hours. I prefer to get at least 7 would be ideal for me. But I do get deep sleep every night. Like, I'm out. Unless I've drank in a lot of water, which I do drink a lot of water because I work out a lot. So sometimes if I don't time it correctly, or if I don't use the bathroom right before I go to sleep, then I'll wake up because I have to pee. But other than that, I always get that really deep sleep at the beginning. And then, if I wake up and... sometimes I wake up and I'm still awake, so it might be challenging to knock back out like that. But it's definitely deep sleep. Don't affirm out there. My point is, don't affirm out there that you suck at sleeping, because anything that we tell the story consistently about, our body will just listen to it. So, you know, just moment by moment, you're becoming, moment by moment, day by day, I'm becoming a better and better sleeper. I get more and more restful sleep. Your body will listen to that as well. So try that versus affirming anything else if you're out there. Because I hear a lot of people affirming that they suck at sleeping, and I'm like, stop affirming that. That's not how your body's not going to respond well to that.
Yeah, like, you know, the electrical impulses that travel throughout our whole body based on thoughts is exactly what you tell it. I used to wake up and be like, oh, fuck, I've only had, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours, I'm going to be tired. And I'd be tired for like the whole day and confirm to myself, I should have had more sleep. I should have lied in. But ever since I just wake up and get up, and I don't even think about how many hours, I don't even yawn. It's like I could have had 4 or 7. I don't yawn. I feel great. I didn't look at the clock and acknowledge, okay, it's 12. I wake up, fuck, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, I need at least 7. I've had 6.5. I'm going to be tired. I am tired. It's really phenomenal how the brain literally does affirm your last thought. And people who always say, oh, I can't sleep, not going to sleep, I'm like, of course you can't, because you told your brain that. The same as if you drink caffeine before bed and you tell yourself, I can't drink caffeine before bed, otherwise I can't sleep. You're going to need to confirm that, otherwise what you've just said is nonsense. I have caffeine every night before bed, coffee before sleep, and I sleep just fine. Whereas my mum, she's coffee before bed, or literally she'll have a coffee 5 hours before bed and she can't sleep, and it confirms to herself, should have had decaf. And I'm like, it's nothing to do with decaf or caffeine, because 10 years ago, I switched all the decaffeinated coffee to caffeinated coffee, and I watched you fall asleep just fine as an experiment to see, you know, as a placebo effect, if it had any change. And it did fuck all. Whereas if I told you that this was caffeine, then of course you'd be back to, fuck, I can't sleep. It's almost like you're laying in bed, finding reasons to think, fuck, I shouldn't have had that caffeine. And obviously you need that confirmation, which is, an hour has passed and I can't sleep. I mean, what we tell ourselves is exactly what we tell ourselves. There is no middle ground with what we tell ourselves. If we tell ourselves we can't find love, or I'm not going to get a job, you're not going to get a job, you're not going to find love. It's that simple. I remember the other day, I found £10 on the floor. Just like that, I just found money. New Year's Eve, I found £40 on the floor. When I went clubbing on New Year's Eve, I found £30 in the club. So it paid for everyone's entry, because I think we actually spoke about this, Noel, like many years ago, about going to the club and finding money, like setting a goal to find money on the floor. And everywhere we looked, all up the stairs, pound coins, all on the dance floor,
pound coins. I think we did speak about this actually, but just whatever you tell yourself, you're just gonna fucking attract it straight away. So be careful what you tell yourself.
For sure, for sure. Oliver, are you in a monogamous relationship now? Your partner that you were mentioning, because I know we've talked about different stuff when it comes to this. Are you?
I'm not with anybody. I call them special friends, meaning that we're both free. But if you want to spend time with each other, then we do. And so you call it poly, open, but not actually a relationship. So there's no rules of a relationship. It's merely kind of just special friends, essentially. But I suppose you could call it open, polyamorous. And the freedom of being able to execute your choice with somebody else, should you wish, but don't necessarily take it upon yourself to do so, is where the power of a great dynamic comes in. To know that this person could go elsewhere if you don't give me what I want. You make an effort all the time to give me what I want. Otherwise, you become stagnant. The minute you think that someone is yours, you become stagnant. You drop your guard. You stop washing. You stop cleaning. You stop making an effort. And naturally, the high disappears. So not being somebody's property is the secret to a successful relationship, because you're always on date number one every night. And trust me, the high is as good as day number one, because you know this person, they get bored, they'll go elsewhere, and you don't want them to. So you keep making an effort. It's the secret to relationships, is give people the choice to be free and they will execute, and they'll always come back. Chickens come home to roost, meaning give them what you want, they'll come back. The chicken will always come home to roost.
That you just shared so much wisdom, and there's people that are listening that are be terrified to do what you just described. There's so many people in the world that are terrified to give people that type of freedom, because like that control or that obligation or that rule or that contract that we have means that you have to stay with me, which that means that, like you just said, like that means you can get complacent. That means you don't have to give your best effort. I have relationships the exact same way. And all that I give is love and appreciation and love and appreciation and love and appreciation, like just flooding my partner with love every time we're spending time. Because yeah, if I'm treating them like shit, and this for a lot of times for people when they're, you know, in a relationship with me, it might be different for them. It might be new for them as far as having this type of open freedom relationship, where before it was more traditional. And, you know, so if I'm treating them like shit and it's not really what they're used to, it'd be really easy to not spend time with me. So it's fun to give just so much love. And plus, when people talk about out there, it's like, oh, I'm in a serious relationship or I'm not in a serious relationship. Like for me, all the relationships are serious. Like, because the only way to reach frequencies, like we were talking about at the beginning of this episode, only way to go to energies beyond what words can describe, where bliss wouldn't be a fair description, is to truly connect with someone, like to truly care about your partner, to truly set the intention with them of how much love can we share right now? How amazing can this feel? Like, you cannot reach the frequencies that I'm talking about if you're just there for just a physical, like the physical act. If you're just there for a fuck and to have an ejaculation, like, it's just not going to be the same. We're talking about two different life experiences. It might as well be a totally different sport, like what we're playing. So if in order for you to really reach like the maximum potential for you, you know, sexually, energetically, like you have to connect and you have to care, just because I'm not trying to control and tell someone. Now, do I like my partners when they get horny to want to come connect with me? Absolutely. And I tell them that, like, if you're getting horny, like, I want to be the one to fuck you. Like, yes, but I'm also their favorite partner ever, because I'm letting the energy go to the furthest place. And so this is super important. Like, when we care about people, like genuinely, regardless of what our relationship type is, like whether you're choosing monogamy out there, or polyamory, or something different, that doesn't matter. Like, we all have different desires and they're all okay. But just being honest with ourselves, being honest with our partners, and then regardless of what your choice is, just giving love and appreciation every time that you're spending time. Like, the rest of the world doesn't exist. Like, how much can I give love to this person right now while I'm spending time with them? How present can I be? How good can we feel? How amazing can this experience be? Start asking those questions and, you know, watch where your relationships go, regardless if you're in monogamy or something different.
Yeah, so it's almost like, why would you want somebody to be with you if they don't want to be with you? So if somebody is insecure and they want a partner or a boyfriend or a girlfriend who does this, 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 and this, because that's what you think a partner should do, or that your friends have, or their friend's partner does, then you're going to want this, 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 and this, right? And so if you lock them in because you think you're not going to get that person who's giving you this, 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 and this, they're going to feel trapped. But it's like, you don't want somebody who doesn't want you and what you want. So why would you want to trap somebody who can't give you what you want? You let them go. And naturally, if you can give them what you want, they will come back, right? We are naturally, deep down, as much as nature says shag and move on, we will always come home to another soul, right? It's just ingrained in us. It's like, you know, birds and penguins, and they mate, and then they look after the chicks together. And then I don't know what happens after that. They might move on, but, you know, they stick around for a bit. That's naturally what we do. If you get something from your partner which you don't get elsewhere, then you're going to come back. But why would you want to trap somebody to be with you who doesn't want that? So it's almost like, if you take a risk and let somebody go, if they don't come back, then they can't give you what they want. But because that person wants the five factors of a relationship, because their partners have the five factors, you lock them in so you feel like, okay, I've got them, but you haven't got them, okay? Because you've only got maybe one, if you're lucky, out of those five. And then when you do let them go, you give yourself an option for someone else to come to you who can give you more than one of those five things that the other partner didn't. So actually, it's a win-win. You let the person free to get what they want. You're not actually getting what you want. So if you let them free, you make room to get what you want. You know, why would you want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with you? It's what it comes down to. Why would you want to eat food that, you know, is shit? Doesn't make any sense. But people are locked in and they're scared to have nothing. And they'd rather have something, one out of that five, as opposed to five out of five, if the alternative is nothing.
That's the thing right there, is if we can be okay for a period of time of being by ourselves, you know, if we can be open. Like, anytime I had a partner like leave my life, which a lot of times it's like in the last many years, it's because ultimately they wanted a monogamous relationship. And from the beginning, like, I'm honest, and that isn't something that I was open to. So we just are enjoying the moments together, like, until they may go ahead and manifest the monogamous relationship that they want, which is awesome. Like, I'm happy for them, and we can both appreciate all the moments that we shared. But every time someone leaves my life, there's a small period of, you know, there's appreciation, a little bit sad, like, oh, that I really, like, I'm gonna appreciate those moments that I have with them, but, you know, we're probably not gonna have more, at least right now. But then now I get really curious in the same time, like, who is the universe bringing me now? Because there's always that space is gonna allow space for someone else to show up. And because we've evolved so much with each relationship that we have, we evolve. And so the evolved version of ourselves is going to manifest someone that is like, oh my gosh, like, this person, I thought I liked this person, but this person is freaking awesome. Like, I love who I just manifested. And you keep having that, you know, mindset. And if you do want a monogamous relationship out there, like, just be open to not trying to figure out who is going to be, when it's going to come, all that stuff, all those details, like, you can't figure out any of that stuff. And if you just allow the universe to surprise us and delight us, it's all synchronicity. Life is all divine synchronicity. Can't predict any of this stuff. So if we can just let the people that leave our life, if they choose to leave, just get excited, you know, have the mourning process that you have, or whatever that is, the grieving process that you have, whatever that is for you, and then just be excited for whoever is showing up next, because you've evolved and they're likely going to be an evolved version of whatever you've ever had, relationship wise this person's going to be that. So I love it.
I don't know whether I'm sure you did experience the same thing, but, you know, I'm a very unique energy, very high energy, which means that there's not many energies like me. And people who think like me are similar to me are often a very similar energy. But because I'm a rare energy, there's not many people out there like me. I think that our energies are very similar, which means that we will share similar stories. And it means that the partners that we come into contact with, it's almost certain that they've never experienced anyone like us, the energy, the love, the abundance, the time, the care, all the stuff that we offer compared to the average bloke out there. So they come across basically a fucking prince, and they want the prince. And the prince has said, you can't have me because I know what I can offer as a prince. And as a result of that, I can't be restricted to just give my prince traits to one when I can give my prince traits to all. So you could say it's selfish, but it's actually not. It's almost like, why would I give love to one person when I can give love to millions? You know, helps humans, and it also makes me feel great. So now you've got this person who's come across a prince, who's had the pleasure of being with a prince compared to all the dickhead boyfriends and men in the past. But then they know this prince is going to go. So as you say, they enjoy the moment. But then as they get to know you, they feel like, oh, this person's just pure. I want more. But he's told me he can't give me more. So now I have to leave. But I don't want to leave because it's the greatest sex I've ever had. It's the most love I've ever had. It's the most nurture and affection I've ever had in a bloke. So it's almost like I have to leave before I get hurt. And it does hurt when they leave. But you know the drill, and they know the drill. And then end of the day, you look back in your life and you're like, that was just a moment, a beautiful moment, like seeing a baby born for the first time or helping a deer stuck in a fence. It's just another amazing moment in life out of millions that will come and have come. But my question is, do you know that feeling of what I'm talking about when you know they're getting close, but they don't want to get closer because they've never experienced this pure energy of love and abundance before, and they have to walk?
Of course. This is the story of my life and what I love to share with everyone. And it's just so important. Like, when I had to stand back up, now I'm pacing again because I'm going to share something that, you know, if you're in a situation like this, or if anybody's ever experienced a situation like this, just know that the easiest way to, you've already told the universe what you desire. Like, all your life experiences, like when you eat something that you don't like, you're like, oh, you desire something different. Like, you're always telling the universe what you desire. And so every relationship that we have tells the universe, like, I would desire this, I desire this, I desire this. The easiest way to manifest that is to not need it to come right now. Like, if you have to have it now, if it's like, I'll be happy when I have it, then you're not a match to it. You're actually a vibrational match to live way more life without it. And so when it comes to what we're talking about here is, I tell all of my partners over the years, if you're just appreciating the moments that we're sharing, even if you kind of feel like long-term, we may want something different, just appreciate the moments that we share, enjoy the amazing sex that we're having, the love that we're sharing, all the affection that we're giving, all these now moments, because tomorrow's not promised to us anyway. So you may have this idea of what you want in the future, but who's to say you're even going to get to that future? Who's to say the world's going to be even around for that future that you're thinking about? It probably will, and you probably will. But what if you don't? So what does exist is right now. And what makes you a magnet to what you want to manifest is just appreciating the now moments and being, if right now you're appreciating being with me, then you're not thinking, oh, I'll be so happy when I have this relationship, because you already have amazing sex. You already have all the love that you want and all the connection that you want. You have it now. But because the universe knows that what you want is something in addition to this, either I, the person that you're with, become that for you, that version that you want, or you magnetize what you want. Either way, you magnetize what you want. Like, it's a win-win for you either way. There's no way that you don't manifest what you desire unless you continue to be a vibrational match to something different. If you continue to be an energy of, oh, I'll be so happy when I have this relationship, then you're not going to manifest the relationship. But if right now it's like, damn, I have this awesome relationship, and maybe we might want different things in the future, but I'm just appreciating. Like, I love the sex. I love the freaking connection. I love the love that we're sharing. Then you just magnetize someone that is everything that you want, because you're an energetic match to it. So if people could grasp this, and I've had some people that have grasped that, and right now they're married with kids, and they were partners with me right before. Like, I was the partner before their partner that they're with now, that they're married with kids, the ultimate relationship that they want. I can think of 5 people in my head right now in the last 5 years that this was the scenario. And there's others that have walked away before because it was just too much for them, and you know, I don't know exactly what maybe their situation is. I'm sure that they're living great and enjoying life, but we can neglect ourselves and not give ourselves permission to have all these enjoyable now moments because of some future that's not promised to any of us. Would you rather like decline all these moments that you could have now or enjoy all these moments and manifest what you want? Like, which would you rather have? It's up to us.
Yes, like I know so many people that I know over the last year have just died my age, like suicide, literally got run over by a car, fell off some railings. You know, these people have died and they didn't plan any of this shit. Like, so when people are planning the future and they're not living in the now, really destroying our ability to enjoy the moment and be present. What was I going to say? Each partner, it's a win-win for everybody, because if you were the partner and they know that it's not going to last, you could say, well, that's a negative thing, but it's not, because now they know for their next partner what they actually want. Imagine that you've given like the perfect dynamic of a man and all the other people in the past have been dickheads. They saw that Noel gave them such love, understanding and forgiveness, great sex. They might be like, I've had such shit sex in the past that that is one thing I'm not going to compromise on, because Noel demonstrated that I can have good sex. Or Noel demonstrated that a man doesn't have to shout at you and always gives you abundance, but isn't a pushover. So now she wants that.